Hey everyone, raise your glass with me to celebrate 10 years of Stutter Talk. Stutter Talk is heard in 180 countries and has been downloaded or streamed millions of times. Over the past decade, Stutter Talk has published more than 600 episodes featuring people who stutter, world-renowned researchers, self-help leaders, therapists, and many others. Stutter Talk is the first and longest-running podcast on stuttering. There is no better way to celebrate a decade of Stutter Talk than with today's episode, hosted by the amazing Roisin McManus. This is Stutter Talk episode 618 for June 6th, 2017. Thank you for your support and for 10 amazing years of Stutter Talk.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Stutter Talk, which is changing how you think about stuttering one podcast at a time. I'm Roisin McManus of the B Team. Today, I'm actually hosting by myself with two friends. And I'd like to welcome Spring Kwok to the show. Spring Kwok is a 22-year-old living in New York City. She is a co-leader of the Manhattan NSA chapter and works in fashion merchandising. Welcome to the show, Spring.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Happy to have you here. And we also have with us Jeffrey Gertz. Jeffrey Gertz is a designer, artist, educator, and creative enthusiast working in the fashion industry for over 20 years. Currently, Jeffrey is a design consultant and adjunct faculty member at Parsons School of Design, teaching fashion and communication. Welcome to Stutter Talk, Jeffrey.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
And this is, I think this is Jeffrey's first time on the show, right?
Yes. And yes, it is.
Yeah. And this is Spring's second time.
Oh, my goodness.
she's almost a regular now.
I think so.
So we all know each other from the New York City's stuttering community. And we invited Jeffrey and Spring on the show today to talk about the recent NYC Stutters conference that took place in Manhattan on Sunday, May 28th. A little over a week ago. So I'm just going to read a brief description of that event before we get started so you all know what we're talking about. So NYC Stutters is comprised of members of the NYC chapters of the National Stuttering Association. And the conference was a one-day conference by and for people who stutter. And from the NYC Stutters website, they describe the day as an effort to nurture our thriving New York area community. On Sunday, May 28th, we will hold our second annual NYC Stutters conference. It will be a day to support, educate, and empower stutterers. We are expecting a relatively intimate group of about 75 people who stutter. The day will consist of four core workshops exploring topics like the challenges we face in our day-to-day lives, a reflection of how our relationship with stuttering has changed over time, and how to make our way as stutterers in a fluent world. There will be plenty of time for discussion with open mics and quiet breaks taken throughout the day. So now it's been about over a week since the conference. And Jeffrey, I just want to start with you and ask you about your involvement in the conference this year in New York.
Well, I was very excited to be involved in it. So I really appreciate to have been asked. I think as we've kind of talked about before, I haven't been involved in the community in the past few years. And I think the first conference that all of you put on at this time in 2016, I saw an ad on Facebook and I said, it looked really interesting, and I thought perhaps I should come. And I was really happy about it because, with so much time going by and then seeing what all of you began to kind of talk about, you really began to talk about stuttering in a really new way. It's not just the stuttering aspect of the therapy, but it's really to confront it. It's really, being proud and out about it as well, too. And I really like that just because I guess, in my time frame, in like how I kind of dealt with all of that, it was always, spending so much time on the fluency aspect of that, but not really confronting, even thinking. I think some of the workshops that you put on was really, and even the workshops that we had now, really beginning to consider, what our true speech is too, like how being authentic, what that means, So I think that really, really began to intrigue me. And again, it was a new concept and it's something that, not to say I didn't think about it, but in a large group of people being able to share and to talk, I really enjoyed that. So also I was really pleased that you asked me to get involved with this year's because coming up with the look and feel of the rebranding of it too, coming up with a logo. And I really enjoyed doing that too, because really it's almost like starting, how does stutter look like? And I think in my career working in fashion, I've come up with a lot of ideas for brands and so forth, the look and feel, in terms of, clothing and how the signage is supposed to look. And what's interesting is with something that's so close to me, something that's so close to me about stuttering, that's something I never really thought too much how I would put that in type. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I was going to love let our listeners know that both you and Spring really brought your creative talents and your creative expertise to the day. It made such an incredible difference. And I was wondering how it felt to kind of bring your the skills that you've garnered professionally over decades, Jeffrey, to sort of bring them back to a stuttering community that you had just rediscovered.
Yeah, well, first of all, I love to work with Spring. So that's the first thing I have to say. Spring was incredible, actually, because, we were charged with to come up with all the shirts, and again, time frame and so forth, finding just the right factory to make them and you're just getting it all done and also finding agreement. And Spring did, and I'll let Spring speak to that. But she, like I said, speaking from experience, Spring did an awesome job.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
She didn't leave any detail unturned. So I was very impressed with that because you can't always find that, actually. But back to your question, Roisin, about stuttering and coming up with a design, how it looks and spending so much time in my career to design so many other things. You know, stuttering, obviously, you know, we all have a different experience with it. You know, I think it goes from extremes, right? It goes from extremes of, you know, like being frustrated with it, and then real joy too, just because just with this conference, you know, I thought about it, you know, being a member and to stutter, it really makes me a part of a really cool group of people that I enjoy. So that's something that I think about. And the reason why I bring that up is because coming up with the logo and the branding of that, that's what I really wanted to show. You know, I wanted to show that, you know, it's a vibrant, and that's the vibrant group of people who loves to talk, you know, and it's really interesting. You know, if you speak to someone who doesn't know anything about stuttering, they may think, oh, people who stutter may feel reserved and so forth. And that's not the case, actually, because I think the conference, first of all, there was no problems with it. Everything worked out great. But I think we were all very aware of time, you know, and I think what's really great with every session, oh my God, everybody wanted to interject their idea. You know, everybody had something to say, and everybody definitely, I don't know how you two felt, but I don't think there was a period of no one, everybody put up their hand, you know? So I guess, speaking very broadly, I think in terms of to design the logo that we put on the shirt, we ended up that we use on our website on the program, and that's something else too. With the program, you know, in the past year since I've been involved, I just, like I said, I really enjoyed being a part of it and, you know, being a member and so forth. And with the program, I definitely, that was something I wanted to share, you know, and also this conference happens each year. And so with pictures and so forth, it's a way for us to kind of put that all together for us to see it again. Cause you know, sometimes, you know, we all live very fast paced lives and we tend to move on fast, but I think these kind of events allow us to reflect.
Mm. Yes. And for the listeners, we'll post the logo and the program that Jeffrey designed, because they are really vibrant and dynamic and fresh. So you all can see those. You were deeply involved in the planning process for our first conference in 2016. And then you joined us again this year. Can you tell me a little bit about how you approached coming up with workshop content? Because you were part of a really interesting workshop that I really enjoyed. So maybe you could give us kind of a brief synopsis of that workshop and how you came up with that topic.
So last year, I was still fairly new to the community, I think. So I was really, really honored when you guys asked me to be part of that. And what I got from last year's conference was that I had just felt very whole afterwards, and that kind of started. And then I kind of became more and more involved after that. Like I'm now a chapter leader, and that really made me want to become more involved in this year's conference. So I kind of came into this year's conference more veteran, and I really thought about what I w- wanted to get across what's guttering. And for me and for many other people who are in the community, we really wanted to be able to have a space to connect with stuttering, to reflect with stuttering, and to ultimately grow with stuttering. So I guess that was kind of the inspiration of everything and where we wanted to go with this conference. But regarding the specific workshop that I did it with Emma, Chris, and Rifke. And our workshop was regarding the stuttering moment, and specifically kind of the intimacy of it, and what does it mean to us, and how does that moment itself of not being able to get your words out or just being vulnerable identifies us.
I loved how that work, because I guess I've talked about that topic in therapy in the past, especially in the intensive therapy that I did, but it was more goal directed. It was more, what are these emotions that you have and how can we deconstruct them and make them more positive? But what I loved about your workshop was that it wasn't goal directed. It was just an exploration of the good and the bad and the in-between of that moment of stuttering that can be so physically and emotionally intense. And you asked a really interesting question in your portion at the end about what the crowd thinks is their unique, personal, authentic voice, if it's a stuttered voice or if it's a voice that stuttering interferes with. Which I think is such an interesting question. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you came up with that question or where that came from?
Yeah, of course. So first we kind of defined the stuttering moment. We really wanted to touch on how it felt to us. And we kind of came up with this metaphor that kind of described everything, and that the stuttering moment, those moments that you feel like you can't speak, and it can even be the moments when you're word substituting or when you're trying to hide your stuttering, but it's like kind of like an empty pit. Where it feels like there's some kind of lapse in time, and it can be completely meaningless to the other person, but for us, there's so much there. There's so much intensity, and not only intensity, but they're all continuous in that it's the same emotions every single time. It's the same triggers in every stuttering moment. It's the same emotional history as the past. So that was kind of where we started about the stuttering moment. And we really wanted to kind of look into that empty pit. And not necessarily do anything about it, but just kind of make room for it. So we explored, we started off with a typical stuttering moment that I'm sure everyone knows, not being able to say your name and just completely blocking. And we explored how it feels to just completely fail at that one thing, like when you just can't say your name, and how that kind of intimacy and vulnerability can be something that hurts us and is something that we don't necessarily want. And we kind of moved from the most public to the most private. So we went from that to stuttering on the phone, where you're not necessarily in front of the person, but you're on the phone and there's other people around you. And then we moved on to stuttering what the significant other and how that kind of intimacy in the stuttering moment is something that that we can lean into. And then for my part, I talked about stuttering with yourself. I basically stutter in my head. It's kind of this weird tick and it's kind of hard to explain. But it's just something that I do, and it's not even when I'm speaking, but it's kind of in my thoughts, and it's a very weird thing. So from that, I really wanted to bring it up because when I do that, it feels like it's very soothing when I stutter in my head. Like there isn't really a negative, there isn't any negativity to it. I describe it as kind of nurturing and caressing when I just repeat words or sounds or syllables in my head. So the questions I posed with that was, do we ever feel the need to stutter? And that stuttering isn't something that just happens to us, and that it's not so external, and that it's maybe something that's inside and something that that's just a part of us. And then from there, I kind of moved on to the question that you just brought up, Roisin, and that I stutter in my head, and stuttering doesn't necessarily pick up where my voice ends. They're kind of seamless there in my head, but in moments where I feel like my vulnerability is at risk, or where I just don't feel comfortable, I'm not sure if that relationship with stuttering still holds. And that was kind of like the gist of the stuttering moment, how there's always this push and pull.
That was such a wonderful synopsis of that whole workshop.
Yeah.
I just experienced it again. I thought that was so creative and interesting. And in a similar vein, because when you're talking about those kind of things, that's a deeply experiential thing to reflect upon. And I think the actual headline for our conference is a one-day conference by and for people who stutter. Meaning that our planning committee of, I think we had 14 people this year, were all people who stutter, and all of the attendees at the day are people who stutter. So we basically didn't have the conference open to friends or families or SLPs who didn't stutter, or students, which I think is a bit of a controversial choice. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten some feedback about that. But controversy aside, I just want to hear from you guys about what you feel was the experience of discussing those kind of topics in a room of people who stutter, and the possible value of that.
Well, one thing, and I think that Spring and you, Roisin, kind of also touched upon this too. I mean, these are very personal feelings that all of us have. And I think that I was very impressed with, for first of all, it was a wonderful diversity of age range. And I think that, and also just backgrounds too. So I think that really helps us to see that our stuttering community is wide, you know, it's really wide, and everybody comes at it with a very different experience to that. And I think that, you know, again, I think every workshop, how we began to present ideas, they were very personal to all of us. But I think that I think the people who led the workshop really gave the cues to people who attended, and they shared. Also, I was just really very impressed how everybody really shared some really deep personal feelings, things that have happened to them. And you know, based on the conversation that we had before and during and so forth, I think that if it wasn't an exclusive, I don't think it wasn't as an exclusive stuttering experience, maybe people wouldn't feel that open. You know, I think what we've felt really positive about is we created a very safe place, you know, that no one felt that everybody would only think like, wow, you know, what you're saying has happened to me. It's really amazing that I'm hearing someone else say something that's always in my head. And I think as human beings, I think that is such a wonderful feeling to say, oh, wow, you know, it's not just me. So I definitely think having an exclusive stuttering community and group at the conference, I think that was a very important step.
Yeah, I agree with Jeffrey in that it definitely made it a safe space. I think for so many of us, for me especially, stuttering has really kind of intertwined into who I am. It's really a part of my identity. And I think that we owe it to ourselves to be able to explore that side of ourselves. What similar people. I think that we need the space to just be able to break everything down, to be able to analyze what is happening inside, what's happening outside, and to be able to look at this as a community.
I'm also curious about how being involved, not just being a member of this community, but being involved in creating a space like that for other members of your community, has affected you too in your own personal lives and in your own view of your stuttering, and if it has had any impact on that.
For me, I think it's definitely had the most positive impact. I think so many times with the experience of stuttering, there's so much stagnation involved. And you can very easily get caught up in the little things. But I think, looking at stuttering as a community, I think has really helped me just think about it in a different way. So even though I am dealing with stressful situations at work, or even though I am still stuttering very intensely with other people, it just helps to be able to talk about it, to analyze why this is happening or what's going on, and even if there's no answer, I think just being able to come together and being able to bring things up and know that that other people have experienced the same thing has been very, very therapeutic for me.
Yeah. And I think that for the past year, since I've, you know, come back, you know, because I was I kind of dropped out of the scene. I'm a dropout. I am a stuttering dropout, but no, but like all of you really, like I said before, kind of engaged me in the sense that really made me think to really blend this to be a part of my life. And I guess, you know, I thought of stuttering in a completely different way than I think about it now. And I think the group and the community has really kind of got me on this pathway, which I enjoy. You know, as Spring was saying about, you know, solving stuttering, what does that mean? You know, and like, and what we said before, fluency is not always the answer. And I think that stuttering, authentic self, it's a part of who, what Spring said, I agree. It's a part of who I am, you know? And I think that perhaps if I wasn't part of this group, I wouldn't feel that way, you know, just because when you think about it, if you're always around people who, you know, we're not always around people who are like us, right? That's what makes the world really interesting. And we wouldn't want that. But primarily we're around a lot of fluent people. So we're thinking, okay, that's what I should be. But I think if we balance it with people in our community, people who stutter like we do, and say, you know what, that sounds fine too, you know, and make that a balance. And so our perception of life isn't just one way. It's just it's normal. It's a blend. It's all of it, you know. And I think that's really, I think that's what's really helpful. That's what's really been helpful for me and what I really enjoyed. And I also enjoy the fact that because I worked, you know, I work in a creative industry, you know, working in fashion, so forth, you know, having to gone through a lot of stressful activities, you know, interviewing for jobs, having to speak in a very public way, you know, being filmed and, you know, doing all that stuff that for any stutterer puts a lot of stress, you know. And, you know, I've done good interviews. I've done interviews where I stuttered a lot. And, you know, and perhaps it's really, I thought about that. I said, you know, perhaps my segment wasn't used as much, you know. And I think that's an honest thing to say, you know, but perhaps 20 years ago, I'd been like, oh my God, you know, but now I'm kind of like, you know, okay, that's fine. You know, that was me at that time, you know, so so I think I'm spiraling out of this endless loop, you know. I think it's very easy. I think that's a trap sometimes all of us can get into. And I think that was a big part of my life, really being part of this loop, you know, which I've kind of shared in our group meetings. I feel really, I can authentically, honestly say, you know, I don't really feel that way. You know, when I'm working with students, when I teach a class, you know, obviously I'm talking a lot, right? So I will stutter when I talk, right? Because I'm talking a lot. So, you know what? That's it. You know, right. I stutter a word. I move on. You know, it's not the end of the world, right?
Yeah, I like that.
So I hope that's the example that I could bring to the group. So I really want to give back to the group meetings what I've gotten from the group.
Yeah. And I think it's just amazing to have people like Jeffrey involved in the group who can offer that mindset, and not only offers, but you can see that he genuinely lives it. So I think that that's also very
thank
inspiring.
You. Oh, I'm honored.
My last question for both of you that I'd love to hear both of your answers. And this is one of my favorite stuttering questions that I tried to ask at the conference, but it didn't happen. If it's 2050, so I guess that's over 30 years from now, and your child or your niece or your family friend who is turning 10 is stuttering. Well, what kind of stuttering, it's kind of a two-part question. What kind of stuttering community would you want him or her to find? And how would you want stuttering to be perceived in the world? And I'll start with you, Spring.
So I guess just starting off with how I want stuttering to be perceived in the world. I, in a perfect world, would want stuttering, want people to know what stuttering is by what our community is. I think that we're told so many things of people who stutter. We're told so many ways to stop stuttering, or we're told so many ways to cope or to react or to speak. I just want us to be able to define stuttering with our community, with how vibrant it is, the diversity, the drive that we all have. I mean, like I said before, stuttering itself is very, very intense. And I find that with everything involved in stuttering, it's very intense. Like, our community is very intense. Like, even our friendships. I feel like they're not normal friendships. They're much more intense than the normal friendship. But that's because the nature of stuttering, I think, can just be so intense. And being able to share that with a group of people, I think, is very special. So that's what I would want people to know about stuttering, but I'm also kind of in this period where I'm very angsty about the world. I feel like we live in a world that it is of such fluent design. I think it's I think even the small things, like even just not being able to speak without some kind of reaction or constantly being interrupted, or just small things like that, where we don't have the privacy of this. I think moments like those, I do think, will make it hard, and it does make it kind of hard to imagine that. So I'm not sure if that really answers your question, but that's ideally what I would want for my future niece.
How about you, Jeffrey?
I think what Spring was saying is terrific. And it kind of follows what I learned. So at the conference, again, everybody was chatting and talking to a lot with each other in our groups and so forth. But I got to speak to a group of young kids, and their experience with stuttering at a young age was very different than mine, in the sense that perhaps maybe 10 or 11, I became much more aware of myself, and, or 12 or 13 even, and that's the age. And I tend to retreat a little bit, just because that's when I saw that perhaps I didn't quite fit in, and people became more aware of my speech. I felt bad. But it's very different to the group of kids that I met at the conference, because they have groups like SAY. And I think that is so cool. So their attitude was completely different. And I thought, wow, that is progress, and I was really impressed by that. And so they come to this with a genuine spirit of pride. So, so to answer your question, so in 2050, if that's happening now, if we continue to perpetuate this, is to have these groups that are very inclusive, to make people feel very prideful about who they really are, you know, and not hold something else as this attainable, you know, something that you have to reach, that perhaps, you know, whether it's you or not, that's up to each individual to choose. Something else that came from the conference that I thought was really interesting that kind of made me think a little bit. I think as we begin to advocate, as we advocate for stuttering and for each other, I think that public speaking is super important. So I think these podcasts are amazing. So, and that's why I was so honored to be on, just because I've enjoyed them immensely. And I think that the more our community engages in speaking in large public forum, and really, so the public itself hears stuttering, it's normal, you know, and nothing but just that. And I think the more we do that, so it really, it reminded me of, you know, when sometimes I'm asked to give a lecture to a large group of people, you know, and these old tapes that you have years ago never go away. You just have to look at them in a different way. So whenever I'm asked to present or to do something, or if I'm being filmed for something else, you know, my first reaction is like, oh no. No, because I'm being really honest. I think it's important. But then I tell myself, you know what? But this is what I do, right? I know this stuff. I'm going to do it. And am I 100% fluent all the time? And no, but I say what I want to say, and I engage people, and that's a huge part of that. So doing it, and then having gone to the conference and realizing that for stutters being in the public forum, you know, for us being in the public conversation a lot is a wonderful way to begin to educate everybody, seeing that it's a normal thing. It's a normal part of our lives. And it's a sound, it's a pattern that the public can get used to.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so true, because I've gotten you, like when I first came into stuttering community, it was hard for me to hear other people stuttering because I had to run from my own for so long. And now it's like another language or something. It's just so natural to me.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for all of your thoughts and your reflections. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Well, thank you too. Thank you. It was wonderful being on with Spring, of course.
Yeah, no. Thank you to both of you.
Is there anything else that you want to leave the listeners with, or do you feel that we have covered the bases?
Well, you know, just I'll just throw it out. You know, I've said this 1,000 times. So you're probably tired of hearing me say that. But if there's anybody out there who hasn't been a part of a community or a group in a while, or someone like me who's, you know, been in and out and so forth, it's I highly recommend for people to jump back in. You'll definitely get a lot in return.
Yeah. And for me, I started out in this community very uncomfortable with stuttering and being around people who stutter. Roisin, you were at my first meeting, actually.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't the best experience for me, I think, just because I was so covert and I was very, very unhappy with stuttering. But I do, I can genuinely say that now I've grown to a place where I love this community, and I think we talk about things that are important, and I think that more and more people need to get involved and need to listen. But yeah, And we also have some leftover t-shirts from the conference.
this was the whole point of this episode, is to sell those t-shirts.
Sound like.
So reach out to me if you're interested.
I'll post a link or an email along with the picture, and they're really awesome t-shirts. Oh,
if we have a picture of people wearing them, I think if we have a picture of Spring wearing it, it will definitely sell them all.
Right.
Jeffrey, you're embarrassing me, Jeffrey.
I'm sorry. But also, I want all you to know that the quality of the t-shirt, they wash incredibly well. They don't shrink. I want everybody out in podcast land is they don't fade. they fade in a cool way. They fade in that hip way. Yeah. Kind of very vintage, like, I don't want to wear a new shirt kind of way.
Yeah. It's a very cool t-shirt. Very cool t-shirt.
Okay, Spring and Jeffrey, thank you so much for being on the show. And I hope that you've gotten some rest after the conference. None of us have actually talked. I think we all needed to like decompress and sort of breathe. But it's nice to reflect with you guys now.
Oh, thank you.
So I will see you guys soon. And thank you again.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you.